everyone. It's striking how emphatic the UK Parliament is, and even the government, in fact, on linking climate change to energy. In fact, the department is Department of Energy and Climate Change. Even the Select Committee of Energy, Climate Change, and what you call an environment, if I'm correct. Very, very strong emphasis. The variant is in Scotland. The Scottish arrangement is strangely different. They link climate change with the rural affairs. yes, Honourable Ross. And when we ask them, they claim that that's where they are mostly affected, you know, by climate change issues. But let's keep that in mind so that when the report comes out, we can sort of share it, you know, within the committee. In any case, the committee is among committees. It's got to be seized with the climate change issues, you know, as much as any other committee. All right, members, today we are going to be finalizing the budget review and recommendation report. We have a copy in front of you. What also I made sure last week and up to yesterday was to make sure that the final draft is circulated so that members can go through. And here we are after a torturous and elaborate process. At least we've managed to have the report. Just as a reminder once again, the report is part of the new approach of conducting oversight and also reviewing the budget of the department. It takes on board quite a lot of issues. The department's strategic plans, the annual reports, that's both operational and financial. The Section 32 financial reports, specifically those reports. A report or outcome from the Financial and Fiscal Commission, an overview from the National Planning Commission, which I trust in future it will be a report now that the National Planning Commission is beginning to find its feet. At this stage in time, we just got a briefing and an overview from them, from their diagnostic report. And also a progress report on the Ministry's Service Delivery Agreement, or the outcomes as articulated in the Service Delivery Agreement with the Ministry. That came out through the presentation by the Department of Performance and Monitoring. Department of Performance Monitoring and Monitoring and Evaluation. And also, we've taken on board all findings and recommendations from oversight visits and study tour reports. And I'd like to comment here, we had a bit of a hassle here due to the quality of the previous report. So it's an appeal, not only here in this committee, even in other committees where you are. We should now, in this context, make sure that, you know, don't throw away your notes where you wrote everything when you went through an oversight visit and study tours, because when a report comes out, you have to help the committee to ensure that everything factual comes in. Because at the end of the day, it becomes part of an eventuation, like a budget review report. I had some interesting experience in trying to archive and go back to check one or two things, which were outcomes of the, you know, study tours or the oversight visits. So in a sense, this document is largely informed by these source documents. Of course, the State of Nation Address of the President as well. Largely, the focus would be, without biasing you, would be on the committee observations and findings, or findings that rather, and also the conclusions and recommendations. I trust the rest, which is the base information that informs those three areas, would have gone through them. All I can say, we've tried our best, you know, with the researcher and the committee secretary to ensure that the information that is here is as accurate as possible. We even went further and got and sought assistance, you know, from other individuals, you know, the NA table, for example, you know, to ensure that, you know, we can take pride when this report, this document is submitted and endorsed. Because at the end of the day, this is the document we're going to use now, from this month, not even next month, from this month, because this month is the first phase of the budget review cycle, which we are going to start now, very, very seriously, not just to plunge into the budget review cycle in October next year. Honourable members, this is just a preview of the document, because obviously it will be extremely difficult, if not impractical, to go through the document as is, but just to highlight where we need to focus. Findings, conclusion, and recommendations. Now, findings is to say what have we observed out of the reports, the FFC, NPC, DPME, State of Nation reports, State of Nation Address, and the visits and tours. However, I just want to even quote when it comes to the conclusion, to even look at what the manual says. It's very, very clear as a guide taken from the Speaker's office. It says, based on the initial observations, the committee should focus on the extent to which strategic goals and objectives have been achieved. Also, committees should comment on the efficient, effective, and economical use of both monetary and non-monetary resources. The conclusion, that's why I want to emphasize now, should clearly spell out whether the committee is satisfied with the department's level of service delivery performance or not. It's quite tough, and we need to be quite open about that. So I want you to look at the conclusion and see if it articulates this. What are we quite honest to each other? And obviously, the implications of the recommendations are that from now, which is the first phase this month, once Parliament, that is the National Assembly, endorses this, we're going to use all those recommendations now to engage with the department throughout the five phases until October next year. I remember that I'm done now. From my side, any inputs? take it, honorable members are still wrapping their minds to ensure that we can come to a good conclusion when endorsing this report.
Had a report on the Dalink.
thing. So why don't we just say end of the term then?
Yes.
Okay, fine. End of this term. If you manage to get it earlier, it's all the better. If not, let's make sure that it's part of the first term next year. Thank you. Thank you.
First of all, I must say we're very grateful for you for compiling this report. I think it's a great job that has been done and must have taken a lot of your time. And it's very factual. So I would like to say let's move for the acceptance of this report.
Thank you very much. Just to add, it took a lot of time and sleepless nights. not only in South Africa, but everywhere where I was traveling. Because I had to sometimes go through a section 3 or 4 times to ensure that, you know, we did away. Because the significance of this report is that if we, given its size, if we submit it and we find that there's some factual inaccuracies, then we're in trouble because it's a parliament. Yeah, it's a parliament thing. In fact, there are a lot of things that when I wasn't sure, I just threw them out. I said, look, if people remember, they'll fight to they can fight with threats to reinstate them because of that. Or we can think down the line that we can look at innovative ways of reinstating them. But let's give other members some time. Because this is the only item today, which give other members some time to just say, rekindle their memory. Thank you. Oh, by the way, just on a lighter note, I tried to suggest a glossary, but NA table said no.
Okay.
Every acronym out. One full name. So if you find anywhere whereby we made a mistake of not putting in a full name, just highlight that. No acronym. It must be full names. I already see one article in Base 31, FFC and TPME, INEP. Unless somewhere earlier it was it was written in full. In Base 31, FFC, TPME, INEP. All I'm saying is that, and RADS as well, in page 31. But all I'm saying is that if from page 830 downwards, if they have been written in full, that's fine. Well, that's
and on the same page, page 35. Bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The SOE.
Oh, SOE is okay, thank you.
Yeah. And also on second page, page 2, on the role of the committee, to conduct oversight on behalf of the National Assembly over the Minister of Energy. Is it the Minister of Energy or the Ministry? Ministry of Energy or the Minister of Energy and Head Department?
Well, which bullet?
The first one, Chief.
Oh.
I'm saying to conduct oversight on behalf of the National Assembly over the Minister of Energy, or are we saying the Minister or the Ministry?
NA table.
The second page, Jefferson.
Second page. looking elsewhere. Let the NA table determine that. You know, I wrote department, then NA table came back and said, no, according to guidelines, must say minister. So they know the technical terms, but it's good that you bring that to our attention. I'm sure those are things that at least they can, that can be sorted out.
Can I adopt the report?
Chairperson, yes, if I can just make a remark regarding the report, I'd like to add to my colleague and thank you for the comprehensive report and all people that was involved in compiling this report. I think it also gives us a bit of a clear guidance as to the way forward. And just scanning through the report, it gives you an idea, you know, where there are certain voids. And if I may just take an example in regard to this it's quite clear if we have the department's strategic priorities and measurable objectives, and I've just dotted down the 1, 2, and 3, energy, ensure energy security, achieve universal access, and regulate effective and efficient service delivery, and all those nice objectives. And then we have the analysis of the department's prevailing strategic and operational plan. And it gives us a clear indication as to know where we could perhaps in future improve. You know, it also is it's a document that we can accept and work on it to improve. And if I can just take the first bullet, I don't think the page, on page 5, ensuring acceleration of universal access to electricity by building key bulk infrastructure. And just on the bulk infrastructure, it comes to the question to my mind in terms of funding and how will it be funded. And we see later on huge amounts being allocated for the funding program to ensure exactly the priority of energy security. But coming to the funding, I think we can clearly see that there lacks the detailed plans in terms of how can we fund it and how can we keep tariffs to a lower level. So that just opened my mind in regard to that. And then the third bullet, rural electrification, it just brings to my mind the INA program and distribution problems once again. You know, we can clearly see in terms of this report what should be done forward. And then national strategic fuel stocks, and then comes to my mind also the biofuels and the lack of progress perhaps in regard to that. But, Chair, yes, if we have to second the report, I would like to add to it and second the report. I think it's a valuable report, and it's a good summary for us, perhaps as a working document going forward. I hope my analysis is correct.
Shall I take it, Mom Tindo was quite forthright. She didn't deal. She said she moves that we adopted an Honourable Ross. Because I kept on saying, let's go through it, and I was wasting members' time.
Yes.
Thanks very much for that. Thanks a lot. This we then are agreeable that the report is endorsed by the, and adopted, in fact, by the committee. And from here, it's going to be submitted. I mean, subject to one or two grammatical changes and also the time frame as proposed by Mama Tivela. On the Darling project, and that we'll make sure that it goes into the NA table and into the system as fast as possible, if possible, even if it's today, depending on how the committee secretary works out with the NA table. Because why this speech is because this very month is the month of phase one. So we've got to work on that. Now, Honorable Ross, I'm also responding to your point that now that we are aware of what we need to do in the budget review cycle, we're not going to wait for the Speaker's office to tell us because the procedure is there. We just have to take on. Now I'm still suffering from jet lag, but...
Yeah.
If I'm correct, Committee Secretary, we said we would start looking at some of the issues for phase one as from next week. Yeah. So from next week, just expect that we'll be taking out one or two areas in terms of the budget cycle. If I can just refresh honorable members, think. Phase one is to analyze, amongst other things, is to analyze Section 32 reports, which means we'll have to get Section 32 report for which quarter? For the second quarter. Remember, I couldn't handle it because we just started at the end of September, at the beginning of October, and that time lag, it just couldn't work because they just concluded it with the Auditor General, and then from there it has to go through National Treasury. So in terms of timing, it just will not work, even next year. So we'll handle that, and then we've got to conduct oversight. We just have to see with the researcher and the community sector what areas should we handle in terms of oversight. You can also suggest, because it just brought conduct oversight. Now we're going to ask, should it be the midterm review? Maybe yes, because yesterday I was actually at the strategic retreat of the department, and they were doing the midterm review. Maybe why don't you say that they should come and present that to us? What about that? Because they presented that to themselves, the whole senior management, from the DG right down to directors. So we can just as well have them to come and present that. So we're clear now, we're really handling, the budget review process according to this cycle. The third area is to evaluate strategic plans. Can that be separate from this oversight I just mentioned? Can it? Well, Honorable Mpepu, you will have to take that one up now. In terms of the midterm, let's do it independently. Take the 2011-2012 strategic plan and the midterm, the medium term MTEF. And then do that midterm review as we see it as Parliament. So, Mr. Kote, I'm sure you'll appreciate that we'll have to highlight to the department those are the three areas that we need to look into. Even if we do a third or fifth of them, but as long as what I was very eager, and I'm glad that we all concur, what I was eager is that we really start the process now, so that by next year we can have a better way of compiling this report and using it as a tool. In any case, honourable members, I'm sure you don't need another copy now of this report. Keep this as a Bible. Keep this as a Quran. The only thing you'll scratch is that middle of November and say end of term. Why I'm saying so is that all throughout from now, phase one up until phase five, you will be using this document. You can even remind me, by the way, remember recommendation so-and-so. If you don't push it in the program, maybe second term program next year, it's not going to work. Please make sure that it comes in. So in a sense, Honorable Ross, it's another response to you that we will use this document, Not only the recommendations, which we will be taken into account by the Speaker's office, I suppose, by the department itself, I suppose, but by us as well to monitor. If you look at the character of the recommendations, which is one of the things Honorable Ross that made me spend sleepless nights, that I went through them time and again, tried to put time frames. And to try to be as reasonable, sometimes quite lenient, so that we don't say we didn't give them enough time. But even if they come back and renegotiate those time frames, but there must be time frames, We don't just say we recommend that the minister should ensure that we have renewable energy technologies, you know. But by when? When can we get an update so that the minister can say, look, because of 123, this task has been partially done. Or because of these challenges, we just couldn't, you know, move even from scratch. Then that helps us also in our, you know, oversight work. I also would like also to say, using this as our Bible or Quran, is the findings. Because the findings are very important, because we need to observe them. Should we pick up improvement, we need to commend the department. But should we pick up repetition, you know, of some of the findings there, we should then ensure that something must be done to improve that. Before I move on, Dexter, I saw your hand up.
I was outside, I went to the bathroom. If I understand, if we've adopted it, there are some very major typographical and layout errors in the report that I've identified. And then there are a couple matters of substance. How will we address those?
Now you were outside. How do we address that now that we have adopted it?
Well, then I'd like the committee to note them.
Okay.
I don't want to amend the report.
Highlight them.
There are three major issues of substance, Chair. The one is that I think the report doesn't address. The one is the issue of the overall strategic coherence of the department and its ability to drive the program. If you recall, that has come up in various meetings. It's not a criticism of the department saying it's failed, but it's a question of the weakness of, or its capacity and its ability to drive the program. That's not mentioned. The second is that it talks on page 35 about the need for a comprehensive radioactive waste management system, as if there isn't one. But there is a radioactive waste management system in the country. There's a site where radioactive waste is taken. We were presented that. So I don't see why we would say that maybe they need to improve it or amend it or whatever, but it talks as if there isn't one. And I think it's wrong to suggest that the government doesn't have a strategy for managing nuclear waste.
Maybe Mr. Chair,
yes.
I say on the waste issue, it's not at the end. It's because no one knows how to deal with waste. And the what we're doing now is dumping it and burying it.
But that's what people do all over the world.
No, but why should we do what everyone else does? I'm saying we should look for a conclusion. What is going to happen to nuclear waste? And that is a major, major problem.
But that's a different point.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. So
okay, will you speak for me, please?
Sorry, Chief.
Well, I thought we should, because we haven't finalized what we're going to do with the nuclear waste. And that's my worry. And it's been my worry all the time, is that what they're doing there with those concrete boxes could leak, it could go into the water, and a lot of things can happen. So I think it's ongoing.
Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to say.
Well, then in that case, Chair, I mean, my point still remains. Because the way it's written here, it implies that there's no system for managing waste. There is a system. If you're saying the system is deficient in the way in which it's, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I don't think we should submit a report as a committee that says something about the government that's not true. That's the point I'm making. And the third issue that I believe... Sorry?
Can you give Mr. Dexter?
And the third issue, Chair, relates to the whole question of the Central Energy Fund, its restructuring and everything else. Remember, that issue came up about there should be a review of it because the current way it's operating, we feel, is not maximum. It fudges that issue a bit. It mentions the CF, but it doesn't mention what we as a committee said was a need for a comprehensive review of the role of the Central Energy Fund with proposals about how it should be restructured. It just talks about should embark on a... That's it. embark on a comprehensive restructuring program. But if you recall, we said there's no point in talking about restructuring if we don't know what the architecture should be. And I think my understanding was we as a committee wanted to have a serious input into that issue. Then the typographical chair, I mean, that's fine. We can just submit those.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
Now, can we look at your 3 points two that we've already adopted the document? The first, let me last start with the easiest. The last one on CF, I would plead that let us look at the review as a process, as an integral part of a comprehensive restructuring program.
Okay.
That's subject to interpretation. I mean, if you say I'm restructuring, you can say I'll review before I restructure. At least let's accept that that comprehensive approach would include that.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
But in any case, we'll all be together. There's no way that we'll allow CEF to just to be structured without going through a lot of analysis and review and all, you know, linked activities. The second one, the radioactive waste management system. Number one was aware that there's one that exists, that's existing. But if you appreciate the slant, there is the comprehensive nature, number one. Number two is also to address the system through public-private partnerships now. You know, I mean, if you need to tweak the wording, I don't mind, we could be flexible on that. But the main thing is to ensure that now we're approaching the very system through a different way to ensure that we pull in public-private partners, I mean the private partners up to universities and similar institutions. That's where the emphasis is, Honorable Dexter. The first one, now you caught me there. Yes?
Why don't we agree that, because I think...
Your microphone?
I think Comrade Dexter is not against that process. But what his problem is that in that formation, the current existence of radioactive waste management should be put there. That it should not look like there is a need to start. It should look like there is a status quo, and in that status quo there is a need to improve. Maybe the wording as to how you put it, I think we can leave it to you. But I think his point is correct to say some mention of the current status quo should be made.
Point taken. I don't know how do you feel on our text on that?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You should take cognizance of. First one is you know what Honorable Dexter is saying in terms of the first one, he comes up with very, very helpful words which articulate a couple of points which are in page 32. In a sense. Particularly the the bullet points there. I don't know how you feel, Honorable Dexter, about that. But all we can do is to try and ensure that your points are captured, because you see the concern that you have and this committee should have is the extent to which the department has been able to have a strategic coherence and its ability to drive its programs. Yes.
If you recall, we had that one session in that building in 120 Blind Street, where the department came, the IDC, DTI, there was a whole array of people, and they were all making presentations. And the question we were asking was, well, where does the buck stop? And even the advisor to the minister said, well, that's the problem. This energy thing is like across all these departments. I mean, it's that issue about, you know, having a clear understanding and from the department a clear sense that they are driving this thing. So I don't mind how you word it. Like you say, it's kind of implied in all that, but for me it should just be explicit because we want them to address that issue.
So no, fine.
You know, I don't...
Okay, honourable members, let's look into that. At least we're not taking something that's very, very new, but just to enhance what has been adopted. Is that fine?
Yeah. I think, sir, if you accept what the honourable director is saying, and I think he's right. What he's saying, let's amplify this thing. There is clearly a radioactive waste management system.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're saying there is a need to make it comprehensive. In other words, it shouldn't be lying all over the show, and we're giving that responsibility to the ministry. And I have absolutely no problem with that, because somebody has to take responsibility for it.
No, I've agreed on that.
Yeah.
But also the emphasis through public-private partnerships.
That's a given. No, that's a given.
Fine. Honourable members, thanks very much.
Can I?
Yes.
Can I just make a remark? Because we've opened now a debate on the issues of substance, and then, you know, there's certain voids that I would also like them to mention, because if we look at the capital investment program, I would say something that's amiss here and that we need also to apply our minds to is the issue of funding of these huge capital investment programs, except for getting it into the higher price zone, you know, and that we have a policy to stay at least within the projected tariff rates that we have, because this has huge implications in terms of this capital build program. Who's going to fund it and who's ultimately paying for it? And I think as a committee, we just have to have something in the report, at least that we, and my proposal will be that we should look into a policy on funding huge capital projects, and that we will be interacting in terms with NERSA and with ESCOM regarding this, because it's becoming a critical issue because of perhaps the proposed nuclear bill program that's going to affect us and the present methodology in pricing. But I wouldn't like to go into too much detail, but issues of substance in terms of capital investment program should include funding challenges.
Policy in funding capital projects.
I would appreciate it, Chair.
But now the thing is,
how
much would that be falling within Department of Energy as the department vis-a-vis National Treasury? Let me just throw that spanner.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah.
Because NERSA is reporting to Energy, I think this is an area where we can interact with NERSA.
I'm still not convinced, Honorable Boss.
Okay.
Can you go for it? Let's you see? I'm just looking, didn't we, isn't there anywhere where we make reference to the fact that we should look at the, remember this is 2010, 2011, isn't it?
This is historical.
Yes. Honorable Honorable Ross, can I persuade you on two grounds? If you look at page 33, the under recommendations, the third bullet point, it says, the Minister of Energy should address challenges in the distribution of electricity as a matter of urgency. This includes the structuring of the electricity distribution industry. Okay, I'll run away from the legislative and regulatory issues. Wouldn't that cover what you are saying? Remember also, amongst other things, we tend to run away to be so much detailed. Mm-hmm. Because we are saying that, look at this whole industry, you know, and you can't afford not to talk about the funding part of it. Because right now, the moment we start handling this at whatever stage, one of the things we need to get is what the National Treasury is offering. I think, where did I pick up that National Treasury was saying that it's indicating some commitment of around 15 billion out of the 15 billion out of the 32 billion backlog when it comes to funding the infrastructure backlog. You see, Honorable Ross, why I'm doing this persuasion is because I just feel that we might be overlapping on what could be National Treasury's domain. Because it's about policy in funding. To us, is to the department, I assume, or to NERSA and others, would go and interact with the National Treasury in terms of what is in energy. But in terms of how capital projects are funded, isn't there a broad framework? That's what I suspect. But then I say, if there's that, uncertainty, why don't we then, for now, leave with what is in the third bullet point and say anything that regards with regards to funding of capital projects in energy, we will ensure that we address them under that point.
Okay, that's
fine, thanks. But remember, this is just one area that we definitely, in this current phase, we'll just have to dive into it. Because it's becoming a big concern. The Fiscal and Financial Commission did, open our eyes on it. Not only them, but also SALGA and others. Thanks very much, then. Honourable Member, then, why don't you say that at least we've done the best of what we could on this report. Thanks very much. Another suggestion that I wanted to put on the table with the guidance of the committee secretary, obviously, is how do we share this with the department itself? At what stage? Because I think we need to be quite expressive to the department that, look, this is what we have recommended, and this is what we have submitted to the National Assembly, and expect to be adopted or has been adopted. Can we, along the way, look into that? Why I want us to leave it inconclusive manner, because the recommendations of the budget vote, the recommendations from this committee, were formally submitted by the Speaker's office, in fact, through the Deputy Speaker's office, to the department. So I don't want us to run before the cart or to run before the horse. If they will allow us, that's fine. If they want to do it in a certain procedure that they submit, and then we can share it. But I strongly maintain that we need to be sharing it with the department so that they are clear of what we expect, and they can also respond from their side in view of what they feel that they can do. Fine. Another area I wanted to highlight, linked to this report once again, is that I would like us down the line to get expert testimony, as they call it. That is getting an expert from outside to look at the report, analyze it, and just do some critique. Have it done a good job? Because anything that is being raised, you know, will help us such that when we do the next report next year, would even be better. But obviously, other thing is to ensure that have we structured our report such that it becomes a very, very effective tool, you know, for oversight. And it's good that an expert, you know, someone who would look at this objectively from outside could come in and do that. Not only that, but the person would also link it with the critique of the department's annual report. And we can make it a practice, you know, all the time. So that we've done our job, but at the same time, because Parliament also allows that, we get an external, you know, expertise to just do an objective analysis so that we can move with greater confidence now in the budget cycle. Yes, Honourable Snow.
So you've said two things. And what comes to mind is which one comes first. Whether we must share this with the department or we must get expert advice first. And what we present before the department has already been looked at from all angles. And my view would be, once I agree that both should happen, getting expert advice would come prior to taking it up with the department. Because until then, we have not really got a final document that we say, even the format is what we want. This is the product, and we're taking you on board on the product as a department.
Fine. Of course, I've put this on the table because sort of a debut in our area. So. If we're agreeable in principle, let's see in terms of process and logistics how to work out that. But I take your point, Honourable Slough. Thanks very much.
Honourable Lord.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honourable Slough has a point, but I think, as you rightly point out, logistically we may run out of time in terms of just getting the expertise and stuff like that. But I would also like to have this thing go so that it becomes truly a learning tool once the expertise comes in after we have presented it. Because what we are really saying is we would have presented them with this thing, and then the expert might say, well, you could have sharpened here, you could have sharpened there, and then going forward we'd be able to use that to tighten up for oversight, as you rightly pointed. So I think it's just a matter of timing which way we go. I would be happy if we went with it like this.
The only problem now is that we have actually run out of time in terms of submitting the report formally. But can you commit that next year, surely we would have enough time so that before we adopt the report, we would have an expert analysis of the report so that we can take on board any critique towards adoption of the report? No, thanks very much for that. Now, Mr. Kotze, it allowed me to once again to run fast without handing apologies. But the only apology we have is Honorable Muloto, which I hope he'll be joining us in any case next week. He's still having family problems. Honorable members, I think... Yes?
I'm not sure if I raised this apology at the right time, but it's an apology for future meetings.
Okay, preempt us.
Mr. President, I've been asked to join the speaker together with three other members on the trip to Japan from the 11th, Japan and Vietnam from the 11th, and we'll be back in the country at around the 20th, 21st. So any meetings that will take place around that time, I wish to apologize.
Okay. In advance. Okay. It's on record now. Okay. That's fine. honored members, I think we are done for today. Thanks very much. The only thing is, just as a reminder, we'll be having our meeting on Friday as well. Briefings from the various departments, women, children, and youth and persons with disabilities, labor, and also energy, to look at the mainstreaming of the various sectors with regards to energy, gender, youth, and persons with disabilities. We hope to be joined by the other portfolio committees as well in that meeting. I must say, it has been quite an interesting experience to go through such a document, and of course also from my side, together with you as a team, we should really look forward to how do we use this in future, and I hope it will also make life, you know, easier for us doing our oversight, to be more systematic. Because this is my second term in Parliament. At times I used to be concerned as to whether we're effectively doing oversight. You know, just get something put on the table. There's an item in the agenda. It's fine, but where is it taking that to? Can you say at the end of the year, calendar year, financial year, and even the term, have we done justice and have we professionally and appropriately conducted oversight, you know, over the department? You know, at times I just feel personally that we tend to get too detailed on certain issues at the expense of other areas. I'll give an example. We haven't touched international issues. We haven't touched nuclear. We haven't touched skills, human resource development, or skills development in the energy sector. You know, so I trust and hope that this report, as part of the tools for oversight, will help us at least to move systematically. And it must be, however, also you know, used in conjunction with our strategic plan as a committee, let alone the strategic plan of the department, but the very committee itself. Honourable members, with those words, let me thank everybody, the effort and the input that you have made on this document, and the meeting stands adjourned until we meet on Friday. Bye, thank you.